Well, The Truman Show is a famous 1998 Jim Carrey film. It's about a man who lives inside a TV show. Everyone in Truman's life is an actor going through the motions, following the script, except for Truman himself. And the whole world watches on, they tune in to see what Truman will do in his life. But like, we wouldn't try anything like that in the real world, right? Like we wouldn't actually give that a go. Well, it has been attempted. And if you haven't seen it, the TV show is called Jury Duty from 2023. Stick around to find out what it's like. Welcome to Pink Door Culture Club, your eclectic entertainment guide. My name is Jeremiah Burns. This week, we're looking at the rather unusual and entertaining eight-part TV show, Jury Duty. It's kind of a drama, definitely a comedy, and kind of a reality TV show, except with a big twist. Every single person on the show is an actor, following a loose script, except for one person, and that person is Ronald Gladden. This guy is at the center of the story, but as far as he's concerned, this is a real court case. It's happening in the real world, in his real life. In this episode, we're going to unpack the good, maybe the bad, and the otherwise of Jury Duty, and think about some of the big ideas arising from it. Pink Door Culture Club, if you're not familiar with it, is a YouTube show as well as a podcast. It gets released every Thursday afternoon Australian time, along with these regular longer reviews. I'm also publishing some short form videos called Pop Culture Proverbs, just some short pieces of wisdom for living inspired by whatever we've been looking at recently. If you like the show, of course, don't forget, make sure you subscribe, you share, you comment, and do all of the things that you always hear all of these people say to do. And you can be in touch with me via the YouTube comments, the Facebook page, or you can email me directly at pinkdoorcultureclub@gmail.com. The first segment of Pink Door Culture Club is called Spellbound, where we think about some of the strengths and maybe some of the weaknesses of Jury Duty. The first thing to say is the strength really is in the central concept. Like, this is such a novel, unbelievable concept. As I said at the very top, like, you know, The Truman Show was a very strange form of fiction, but this is real. And it's so unreal that for four or five episodes, even though in the opening credits they kind of tell you what the premise of the show is, I sat there sort of shaking my head saying, this can't be real. This is fake. They're just having us on. Until I bought into it as well. I was like, hey, this is actually happening. Ronald doesn't know he's on a TV show, which makes it really engaging because it's so novel. You're kind of in on it in a way, right? You're in on the joke. You're spending your whole time wondering, how will Ronald cope with today's kind of events? How will he react? How will he eventually react when he finds out all about this? Will he eventually guess? Will he just walk away from certain situations? You know, you're kind of caught up in the drama in a very real way, and that makes it very compelling. It's the central concept, I think, that is so good here. The second thing that's good about this show is the level of absurdity. A lot of the details about the court case and what's happening, they're pretty normal. They're pretty believable sorts of things. But what they do is they kind of infuse all of that normality with characters and situations that are really quite silly or gross or unexpected. So James Marsden, who's a Hollywood actor, he plays himself. But he kind of plays this alternate version of himself who's particularly selfish and egotistical. And then there's kind of like a character called David, who's or David Brown, sorry, plays a character who's like this really nerdy version of Dwight from the American Office, who's kind of got these very strange ideas about the world, very strange costumes, strange way of expressing himself, very strange habits. And they're constantly riding that line of believability and an absurdity that's not, you know, it's getting close to the edge, but never tipping over, never becoming too much. Like, it gets close at points, but I think they manage just to kind of keep it there right in the sweet spot. A third strength of this film is Ronald Gladden himself, like the central character here, the person who thinks they're in their real life. This guy was a solar installer, so he was out in between jobs, and he found an ad for this show, which they had advertised on Craigslist. It was kind of being pitched as, we're making a documentary about what's like to be on a jury, so we can educate people about that. And so, you know, there's like a cover story that makes it all seem legitimate. But if they had have cast the wrong person, this show could have been a complete disaster. Like, it could have been a write-off where you might have had someone who like really refused to engage someone, or someone who was really nasty and awful and rude. But instead, they found someone who was pretty resilient, pretty good-humored, quite moral and diligent as well. And so, like, obviously that's because they did do some screening and they tried to choose carefully. But they also hit the gold mine. Like, he's a really interesting, compelling, nice central character. Fourthly, you've got the strength of all the improvisation happening around him. So everyone else is an actor, as I said. Even James Marsden is an actor pretending to be a version of himself. I found out later on, I was reading that, you know, Ronald was extremely disappointed that he hadn't been interacting with the real James Marsden, but he was also extremely relieved because the fake James Marsden was, like, you know, pretty selfish. So he was glad that James Marsden's actually nicer than the person he was pretending to be. These guys continually work with a fairly loose script where, you know, there'll be an agenda for the day, but they have to constantly improvise based on Ronald's reactions and, you know, what he's saying, what he's doing. They do kind of show at the end that there are a few moments where they slip up and they don't use their character's name. They use the actor's real name, for example. A few moments there where he could have guessed that something was going on. But overall, that those things are very few and far between. And they hold it together. They keep reacting, you know, in keeping with their characters. And apparently one of the things they did to really heighten that was, while they had these absurd aspects to their characters, they also blended it with a lot of things from their real life. So a lot of the stories they told him and a lot of things they shared about their lives were also true, as well as the unusual, more absurd, more dramatic aspects. So that gave it the ring of truth and made them more believable. A fifth thing to say that was a really great thing about this show is the payoff. You know, the facade in this show is built and built and built over the first 7 episodes. And, like, as it goes on, like, that's a pretty complex facade that you've built. And so you know it's going to be revealed in the 8th episode. And it makes the payoff where they kind of pull back the curtain, so to speak, and they explain to him what's been going on and they show it to him really dramatic and shocking. Like, it's actually super emotional, and he can actually, it's like on the surface of it, he can barely cope. Understandably, he can barely cope with what he's being told, that he's been going through days or weeks or whatever it is of a facade where he's the only person who's been really trying to be a juror. It does raise, I think, some uncomfortable ethical questions, and I'll come to that in the next segment. But overall, like, this is a funny show. Like, the absurdity makes it funny. It's meant to be a comedy. It is funny, and there's a lot to like about Jury Duty. The second segment of Pink Door Culture Club is called Rear Window, and the idea is to look more closely and think more deeply about some of the themes or ideas arising from jury duty. The first thing is the idea of making sense of reality. One question I think that jury duty raises is how people make sense of what's going on around them. As I said before in the earlier segment, many of the situations faced by Ronald, they're pretty weird, or the people are pretty weird, but he makes the best of it. Here is a really interesting excerpt from an article. It says, when asked if he ever registered what was secretly transpiring, Gladden described why he couldn't entertain the thought that his reality was fake. If I asked, is this fake? I would have to question my entire reality. So it made much more sense that I was surrounded by weird people than that my whole world was fake, he said. What makes the most sense to you? That your whole world is fake? Or, hey, this guy's weird? Now, I think that's a really deep insight. He's saying, look, I had two pretty painful choices. I could kind of accept and deal with what seemed silly and absurd, or I could question my whole reality more profoundly. The former was easier, and the second one, maybe it did make more sense, but it was just way less comfortable. You know, and in this case, we're dealing with a comedy, but it does raise, I think, the question of how far people will go and do go to rationalize things in order to avoid or to minimize what I guess you would call cognitive dissonance. You know, it makes sense that we want to do that, and it makes sense that we're able to do that. Like you don't want to be questioning everything every moment. Like, it's necessary to function that you can rationalize some things and explain a few things away and just get through the day, get through your life. But it's also an interesting insight into how like terrible things can happen at the individual level, the family level, the corporate level, and even like at a national level, and why you need some people questioning reality and asking the tough questions. Like, hey, this family dynamic is like, it's pretty dysfunctional and it's getting out of hand. Or this business practice is unethical and we need to challenge it. Or this political movement is dangerous and we need to reconsider things. So like, this is just some little comedy, but I think his quote around how like it just was easier to rationalize what was going on provides a pretty deep insight into the way humans will do that and just keep moving and not really stop and question things. A second thing is to do with human goodness. So one of the things about jury duty is that Ronald comes across as a really nice guy. As I said earlier, they kind of hit the gold mine with this guy as the main character. Like, he's a good guy. He's ultimately recognized and rewarded for that. Like, I think they give him, well, they sort of at the end when they reveal, they kind of say, you know, congratulations and you've done a really great job. And they give him, I think, $100,000. So he gets a financial reward on this. But here's another interesting excerpt from an article that I read. When reflecting on his journey and how kind and accepting he comes across on the show, Ronald said the experience changed him as a person and he wasn't always his jury duty self. And this is a quote from him. I definitely used to be a different person before this. Part of the reason I am the way I am is because I wasn't necessarily the nicest person. So I'm working on reconciling my past, you know. I'm trying to make a point to spread positivity as opposed to negativity. I mean, I didn't used to always be like this, so the fact that you guys are calling me the hero in the show surprises a lot of people who I grew up with who haven't known me since I moved to California. This is like another quite deep insight. He's kind of not comfortable with the idea that he's a hero or even that he's good. And he's aware that there's this other side to himself, this other past that he's lived out before, which he knows about and that his hometown know about, which is not quite as shiny or moral or ethical as what you see in the show. you know, I think Ronald is sort of saying, like, even when I didn't know I was performing on the Jury Duty comedy show, I was still performing in a way, right? He didn't think he was, like, he did think he was part of a documentary, that there were some cameras around, there was some aspect of that, but it was just a different show he thought he was on. And he did form, I thought as well, an interesting thought was, he formed a friendship with a celebrity who he kind of admired and wanted to impress. So there was a sense of, like, I want to fit in with these people. I want to be seen a certain way with these people. So it made me think about the extent to which our human goodness is a performance dependent on the context that we're in. And again, you know, there's plenty of examples where as the context has changed, so have individuals and whole societies, you know, shifted what they do. Something different is acceptable. A third and final thing I was thinking about, which I kind of mentioned earlier on, was the ethics of observation. This show would never pass the, you know, ethical screening of a university research department, because it raises some really tricky questions about voyeurism. Ronald's the only person not in on the joke. He's the only person not being manipulated. Everyone else is in on the joke, in on the game. And like, I'm in on the game, right? Like, I'm watching, I'm laughing, I'm participating in that as a viewer as well. And mostly that was fine. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny. I was laughing along. But there were times where I felt pretty uncomfortable about that. Like, especially, I think, even though the payoff is so great, like the reveal is so dramatic and so great, like his shock at the end could easily have given way to anger or bitterness or resentment about what he'd just been through with all these people. And I think that's happened more generally. I have read cases of where people who've been on reality TV shows have felt really manipulated and robbed by the experience, even where they knew they were on a reality TV show, because in those cases, often it's more insidious where, you know, while there's apparently no manipulation, the hours that they're asked to work, the way in which they get given food, the situations they get put in, it's all designed to sort of make them appear a certain way and react a certain way. And so understandably, they're pretty upset about that kind of manipulation. I think this is more overt and it's more clever, but it does run a lot of risks, and the whole show could have just fallen in a big heap, like I've said, at any moment. I'm not 100% sure what to think, but Ronald, I think he did sign up to something. He was rewarded then. He has since been rewarded with other gigs and opportunities as well. And like, he seems overall pretty philosophical and okay with what went on. So I think that's a good thing. Final segment of Pink Door Culture Club is called The Man Who Knew Too Much, where I list off just a couple of bits and pieces of interesting trivia related to whatever we're looking at. The first thing to say is that to really drive home the documentary facade, Ronald only ever saw three camera people, a producer and a couple of sound people working on the film, even though the series production team employed about 100 of those people. And that's part of what makes episode 8 so great, is you get to see all the little hidey holes and hidden cameras and studios that are hidden away in the courtroom that he never got to see. Like, and that definitely blows his mind when he sees it. Second thing is that in May of 2023, Ronald revealed that he had received a real jury summons from the city of San Diego. Surely he would be excluded from the jury pretty quickly. Like, you couldn't have this guy ever on a real jury, I don't think. Like, he's a nice guy, he's a good guy, but surely that would be a huge distraction for everyone. A third and final thing in terms of trivia is that both of the actors who are playing both the prosecutor and the defense attorney, and also the judge, who the guy playing the judge, all of those people, they either are attorneys in real life, or in the case of the judge, he is a former attorney, which means they kind of were familiar with the whole vibe of the courtroom and the language that gets used. Okay, so we're at the end of this episode of Pink Door Culture Club. Overall, I really liked Jury Duty. It is such a novel concept, something that it feels like you could only do once. Someone has told me about a show that touches on similar themes and ideas called The Rehearsal. But overall, I think it's going to be hard to repeat exactly this recipe. It's a one-off, and it's a comedy that's properly funny. There's such a great central character. His behavior on the show and his reflections afterwards, I think, also raised some really interesting questions, which has been fun to think through. As I mentioned at the top, remember that this show is a YouTube show and a podcast. It gets released every Thursday afternoon, and I'm also publishing some short form videos via various channels throughout the week as well. However you're engaging, make sure you like and you follow and you share and you comment and all of that. You can be in touch via the YouTube comments, via the Facebook page, or via pinkdoorcultureclub@gmail.com. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.